Okay, well, good morning to each one here this morning. It's a blessing to be here. I'm glad to see y'all, and this morning I thought I'd share a little verse that blessed me this past week, just as a little something. Just as a little encouragement, there's a verse in Ephesians that I was reading, chapter 1, verse 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And that can sound a little bit far out or kind of a little bit more than I can grasp. But I was reading it and I was thinking, okay, this is the truth. This is the Word of God. This is reality. It's a promise from God. And as I was reading it, there was a thought came to me that in the Amplified it says that these are spiritual blessings that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And my mind went to what are some of the gifts or the blessings that the Holy Spirit gives to us, and just to make it more practical, I guess, in my life. And the first thought that came to my mind is patience. And maybe it's just something that I needed for this week, but it was encouraging to me. And in Colossians it says that He has strengthened us with all might according to His glorious power to unto patience and long suffering. And another verse that I thought of was in Romans, where it says He has shed abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Those are spiritual blessings that we can experience in heavenly places in Christ. So this morning I thought I would share on Matthew chapter 5, verse, I believe is it 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And maybe we'll just bow for a word of prayer here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this beautiful day that You've blessed us with. We want to thank You for Your goodness. And as we consider that every living thing turns its eyes to You this morning, and You give them meat in due season, and we turn our eyes to You this morning as well, that You would just give us what we need here, that You would fill us. I pray that You would take this lump of clay, fashion it according to Your will, and that You would just speak to my own heart. And we thank You for Your goodness, and we pray this in Jesus' name. So, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Righteousness in this verse is described, the Strong's Concordance would say, equity of character or act, specifically Christian justification. And I thought I would just write the word equity. That word means, if I looked it up in the just in the Webster's dictionary, and that definition is fairness or justice in the way people are treated. So So it's fairness or justice in the way people are treated. So the opposite of that would be inequity, or it would be there's few words that we hear these days, but one of them would be racism or partiality, a respect of people. And if you go inequity, you would have unfairness or injustice in the way people are treated. And then I looked up the word, if you change one word here or one letter, you go iniquity, the definition is the definition of that in the Webster's dictionary is gross injustice. So it is gross injustice towards others, and it is gross injustice toward God. The other part of that definition is Christian justification, and by the way, that is the main definition of every word that you read. Righteousness in the New Testament has kind of that meaning. There are about 6 verses that have a slightly different, that have a different Strong's word, but they all have the word equity or equitable or equitably in them. So they all have somewhat of the same. There may be one I can't remember for sure, but there may be one that has a slightly different meaning. So in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, it was said of Jesus, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So, as we look at this definition of equity a little bit, we realize that life will not always be fair. It doesn't take long to find that out. I was a little boy. I just thought of the story this morning. I was a little boy. I don't remember what I did, but I deserved a spanking. And my dad gave my sister and myself a spanking. And after it was over, he gave my sister a kiss, and he did. There was nothing for me. And that is a definition of inequity. So that's something that that I obviously remember to this day. So it doesn't take long to realize that life will not be fair, but we should always strive to be fair in the way we treat others. And there is also a sense where this this word equity is more than fairness, but it takes the brother that is weak and it lifts him up to a place where I think I might be, or to a place where others are. So then, as we look at it, Jesus said in Matthew 5:20 that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what kind of righteousness did they have, or what kind of righteousness must we have? We read in this past week, we read in Mark chapter 12, verse 38 through 40. It's a definition. It's a little bit of a commentary on the righteousness that the scribes and the Pharisees had. It says, "And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And so you see their righteousness was outwardly, and they rather than using strength, rather than using their strength to lift someone up, it says they devoured widows' houses. They pushed them down. And in public, it looked like everything was really nice. It looked really good. And it's very easy. It doesn't take long either for us to... we see where we can take advantage of someone, and we press them, we push them down, we take advantage of them. It can happen in fairly young children. It's part of the human nature. The righteousness that, I'm sorry, my voice has been a little bit challenging, so bear with me. So the righteousness that the scribes and the Pharisees had was of themselves. So Jesus said that he said of those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. And so if we're self-righteous, we will probably despise others and we will elevate ourselves. But this is not the righteousness that comes from God. God, who is all purity and holiness and righteous, does not despise others. Jesus did say hard things to the self-righteous, but as someone shared once, he probably did it with tears. He desired all men to be saved, and he wants no one to be lost. And so he desired for them to find that way too. There's another definition that I thought I'd read from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and this is not a complete definition, but I wrote down some of it. It's purity of heart and rectitude of life is righteousness. So it has to deal with our heart, and it deals with our life. Conformity of heart and life to the divine law. It includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. In short, it is true religion. So where is my righteousness from? Where does my righteousness come? Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, "And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And he also said in another place, if righteousness would come through the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But we see that righteousness comes through faith in Christ. And as a verse that was already shared this morning in Romans, I've been listening to some of the things that they've been sharing on Romans down in Allen County. And it's if you look through the book of Romans, it's amazing how many times the word righteousness comes up. It's, you could almost call it the book of righteousness. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's just a little side note. I was listening to the message last Sunday, Mother's Day message. Can't think of his name right now. Clinton Wolf, I think, shared, and he shared on one of the things that he hears a lot in young people struggles that they have is a father that is angry, and I was convicted by that. I don't feel like that's a pattern in my life, but I see at times where I do fall in, where I do fall into that, where I deal with anger. And I was just convicted with that. James 1:20 says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And so how do I deal with my wife and children, especially my children, as we consider them growing up? He said, this is Clinton Wolf's testimony. He said that that is one of the things that hinders young people tremendously from it's a struggle. It's an angry father or an angry mother in the home. It doesn't work righteousness. And one of the thoughts I had is fairness or justice. You know, if we would apply the way that I treat others, if I would apply that to my own life, would I feel that's fair or just? Would that feel good to me? So how do we attain to this righteousness that God wants to wants us to have, that God wants to see in our life, in our hearts, in our life? There's so many verses. I can't share them all. I don't want to take the time to. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says that I have not hid my righteousness in my heart. It's something that God wants us to show forth to others. And there's also a verse in the Old Testament I thought that was interesting. It said something about along the lines of if those that follow after righteousness and those that seek the Lord, and it sounds like this hungering and thirsting. He says, "Look to the rock where you were hewn, and from the pit where you were digged." Remember where you came from. So how do we attain to this righteousness? Faith toward God. We already talked about that verse in Romans. There's a verse that says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." So we need to awake to righteousness. We need to yield our members unto righteousness. So sometimes we just need to give up my own way, my own selfish, sinful ways that I would want to walk in. We need to just yield that, surrender it, and give it up. We need to yield ourselves when we face chastening. The chastening of the Lord, though it doesn't seem pleasant, yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We need to flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness. And to not be unequally yoked. For what does righteousness have to do with unrighteousness? That's not quoted exactly there. And then there's a verse also that I was blessed by as they were sharing in Romans. Says that for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, just a few verses I thought I'd read here. So God has decreed when a human, when a man is hungry, famished, and depraved. So the word hunger and thirst means famished, and it means to crave after this fairness, this justness, this rightness. That person shall be filled. When we are partial and uncaring toward others, it leaves us empty and thirsty. So just a few verses here. Thinking about hungering and thirsting. What am I hungering after? What am I thirsting after? I thought of a little child. I thought of a little baby that can't really talk very well. They can't communicate, but they can't talk. But when they're hungry, we know it. I mean, they let us know we are. It's serious. And how are we? Do we desire the sincere milk of the word like a little baby does? There's a story of an Eskimo long ago. I don't think it's true, but it gives us a little something to think about. There's a story of an Eskimo years ago. They had dog fights, and this Eskimo had a black dog and a white dog, and these dogs would fight. And sometimes the black dog won, sometimes the white dog did. But regardless of which one won, the owner himself always won himself. He bet on the right one every time. And so years later, someone asked him, "How did you always know which dog was gonna win?" He said, "Well, I always would bet on the dog that I've been feeding all week." And the things that we feed in our life, the things that we hunger after, is going to make a difference in our life. It's going to become stronger. And the things that we don't feed on will grow weaker. So, a few promises in the Bible that I thought I want to take my seat here shortly, but a few promises that I thought of in 41:10. We sang that song this morning. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. God's hands are righteous. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then in verse 17, it says, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. And then in chapter 44 of Isaiah, verse 3, actually I'll read verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And then also in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. I'll close with this verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. And so, if there's an area in my life where I'm not satisfied, if there's an area where I don't have peace. I'm sorry, there's a couple more verses I wanted to share. Those are promises from the Word of God. We can trust in them. And I don't know. Exactly where they are right now, I think might have to just let it go. But it says that mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other, and there's a connection between righteousness and peace in our hearts. If I don't have peace, I probably maybe don't have righteousness the way God would want me to have. There's some beautiful verses. I can't think of them. I can't think of where it is right now. But it talks about the fruit of righteousness is peace, and it talks about dwelling in peaceable habitations, and it's just a beautiful promise. I forgot to write it down, but anyway, so I will let it at that and trust that God can use it to encourage you all.
Children can all come forward.
If there's an area where I'm...
Holy Father, thank you for your diary back.
And then in chapter 44 of Isaiah, the fruit of righteousness is peace, and it talks about dwelling in peaceable habitations, and it's just a beautiful promise. I forgot to write it down, but anyway, so I will let it at that and trust that God can use it to encourage you all.
Children can all come forward.